thank you all for being here tonight, and we're certainly glad that we can come together at a time of this and study. And so let's just get right into it. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 2, that's primarily where we will be instructing tonight. Tonight we want to talk about the indestructible kingdom. You know, it's what a wonderful and a marvelous thing it is when we consider the great things of God, and there's no end to it. We count on God, and He always delivers. And that's remarkable. You know, the one thing God does for us is that He often shows us the future. He shows us our future. I mean, you read any segment of the Bible, and you're sooner or later going to find out about the future. Whether it was a historical fact or whether it is still yet to come, we actually have access to the future. And that's exciting. And He did that in this book of Daniel. He did that very, very thing when He allowed Daniel to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God revealed that a kingdom would come, and that kingdom would stand forever. It was an indestructible kingdom. And I think you already know where that kingdom is. And you already know about it a little bit. But we want to just go over this again. This is the kingdom that would stand until the end of time on this earth. And then eventually be delivered up to eternity. So it's an everlasting kingdom. Kingdom in the truest sense of the word. And we want to begin then by looking at some of the things that are written in Daniel chapter 2 here about this indestructible kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's interpretation of it, as we look in the Bible here in verses 1 through 13, we read about the challenge from Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he called upon the sorcerers, and he called upon these magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans, and he wants to know what his dream was and what the interpretation was. The only real trick there is that Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to tell him what the dream was, and they couldn't do it. In fact, he even threatened and followed through to some extent that he would just chop them all up and burn their houses down to an ash heap if they couldn't tell him what the dream was. And of course, they're all upset because they're saying, wait a minute, you can't do that. No king, no one everywhere, anywhere has ever asked this of us. Of the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. Nobody's ever asked us to tell them what the dream was first. Of course, the king, he had himself set. His decision was firm, and if they could not answer, then they would be killed. And so there was Nebuchadnezzar's challenge there. And then as you read on in verses 14 through 23... Daniel, of course, the captain of Nebuchadnezzar, Arioch, he's gonna go and he's out there executing these sorcerers, executing these Chaldeans, executing the astrologers and so on. He's out there doing what the king told him to do, and he's looking for Daniel, and he's looking for Daniel and Daniel's friends, and. He wants to kill him. And Daniel, of course, we know that Daniel got himself a little bit of time. And then as we read through this segment, he goes to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from God and that the heavens concerning this secret of Nebuchadnezzar. And then as we read on in verse 19, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And so that secret being revealed, Daniel approaches the king, and he's going to interpret to the amazement of Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to tell him exactly what's going on here. And so let's we're thinking about him telling the king what's going to happen. Let's read Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 and following. And we'll read about what is actually being said here. Daniel chapter 2, he says, O king, you, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, and its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. And then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain, filled the whole earth. This is the dream. And now we tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall rise and another kingdom... After you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, and then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks into pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break into pieces and crush all the others. And whereas you saw the feet and the toes partly of the potter's clay and partly of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with that ceramic clay. And as the toes of the iron feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke into pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this dream is certain and its interpretation sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and an incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." And then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so there we have the king. He's seen this great image, the head of gold, the chest of arms of silver, the belly, the thighs of bronze, the legs of iron, the feet mixed with iron and clay. And the great image was destroyed by a small stone. Utterly destroyed. That small stone made without hands. That image representing the rise and the fall of these four empires. The stone representing the kingdom of God that would be set up upon this earth. And the king praised God and exalted Daniel along with his three friends as we look at this. You know, there's clearly two key thoughts expressed in this chapter. God is a revealer of secrets. As we look at the chapter, we realize that nobody could possibly know this dream that the king had. And we can test that today. You know, have a dream tomorrow or tonight when you come home and ask your husband, your wife, your friend, ask anybody, what did I dream last night? And they won't be able to tell you. But God knew, and God revealed that to Daniel. And God, we also noted that God can make known the future and bring it to pass. We are witnesses that God was able to bring that to pass. Also, as we look at this, and a particular interest to us is to be that of the kingdom itself that's mentioned there in verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This kingdom, which God, the God of heaven himself, he shall set it up. It's not a kingdom left to people. We have a king. His name is Jesus. And this king has headship, kingship over the kingdom that he set up. It wasn't man that set the kingdom up. The apostles weren't the ones who set up the kingdom. That was set by God even long before the apostles ever lived. They established the kingdom by his authority, but he's the king. It wasn't made by man. It was set up by God. And it shall never be destroyed. But it will consume all the other kingdoms and it will stand forever. Those are wonderful facts about this dream and about the kingdom that is to come. And so we get several questions here concerning, you know, naturally they come to mind, like about this kingdom. When will God set up the kingdom? It has been set up. Has it actually been set up as it was foretold? And if it has, and if it'll never be destroyed, where is it now? Many people are very confused about the kingdom. I have a brother who is in a church that doesn't believe the kingdom has come yet. They're still waiting for the kingdom with all the Jews. They're with Joseph of Arimathea waiting for the kingdom. And what is the future of that kingdom? And can we be a part of it? This indestructible kingdom. And so we want to endeavor to provide the answers through the scriptures. And we want to start first with the idea when this kingdom, you know, when it was set up in the days of these kings, verse 44, and in the days of these kings, his kingdom, his power was established a long time ago. These four kingdoms, Babylon, we read about in verses 37 and following. And then the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And when we look at these and we see what they represent, the Babylonian Empire, with that strong standing point that confirms the next three kingdoms, the Medo-Persian represented by the chest and the arms and the Grecian Empire by the belly and the thighs of the bronze, and the Roman Empire represented by the legs of iron and the feet mixed with iron and clay. Powerful. And yet this stone made without hands would destroy them. And so we can look at the establishment of this indestructible kingdom that would happen in the time of the Roman Empire, when time is fulfilled. And we notice that even John the Baptist, when he was preaching during the days of the Roman Empire, you know, he used those words, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus proclaimed this, adding that the time is fulfilled in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, and we'll look at those again in a second. What time was fulfilled? This is the time that was described by Daniel. And so we were so excited about this kingdom, this powerful, everlasting kingdom that will destroy ultimately all kingdoms that came before it. And so the indestructible kingdom was set up in the days during that Roman Empire. Both John and Jesus anticipated this establishment. And that leads us to this question. Has it been set up as foretold? It's been fulfilled. And so it was set up during the earthly ministry, just like it was foretold. It was at hand, as we just read. That kingdom that Jesus established, both John and Jesus spoke of. Jesus said in the days of John the Baptist, or Matthew rather, that he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So this is the kingdom that we're excited about. He said in Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15, after John had been put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said, the time is fulfilled. So this kingdom existed then, or was there to be set up after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And yet after Jesus' death, you know, there were still people who were, they were not so sure about this kingdom. I mentioned Joseph of Arimathea. In Luke chapter 23, Joseph was a good man, a just man. And he didn't consent to the decision to kill the Lord. And yet he was one who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. It's the same then as it is now. There are people still waiting because they don't understand the Scriptures. Following that ascension of Jesus, though, they now see, they now know with certainty that Jesus himself was the King. Jesus is far above all principality, might, and dominion. That's the kingdom. That's the King of the kingdom. Everything has been made subject to him. He is ruler over all the kings of the earth, Revelation 5 and 1. And he rules the nations with a rod of iron. Sound familiar? This is the King that we talk about. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the one who is from eternity and into eternity. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is Jesus. It's his kingdom that we can be a part of. He rules it with a rod of iron. He truly has all authority in heaven and earth, just as he said. And so, this supports what is revealed later in the book of Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 7 with me. Daniel chapter 7. Let's read verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7, Daniel. It was watching, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, that would be God. And they brought him near before him, and then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. This is prophecy. That all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting kingdom which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel, writing about Jesus, coming down in the clouds. And it's interesting now, when you consider that, we just read that, when it talks, you know, like the Son of Man, He approaches the Ancient of Days, God, and is given dominion, glory, kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. And I want you now to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Exactly. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And let's read this and think about what we just read. Now, when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up in a cloud, received Him out of their sight. Daniel describes the ascension from a very heavenly perspective. Whereas Luke describes what the disciples saw from an earthly perspective. And it's clear that this King, Jesus, received a kingdom that is an indestructible kingdom. And it was set up after He returned to heaven. And that's where He is now. Many people can't accept that. Many people are still waiting and waiting and waiting, like Joseph of Arimathea. They're just waiting for Jesus to come back. They're missing the joys of being in His kingdom. And one might naturally ask, you know, where is it now? That's what people ask. And then when we think about that question and the answer, the things to remember about this particular kingdom, it was described by Daniel as a stone cut without hands, which became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. You know, without hands suggests something, doesn't it? It suggests that God is the one behind this kingdom. You try making something without your hands. Okay, bake me a cake. Hands behind your back. God could do that. Make a stone for me. Hands behind your back. God can do that. You know, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25, and we've been studying in the mornings, that when they made this stone, they wanted to put a stone in place, but it was not allowed to be touched by any tools, anything. Because that would cause it to be profane. And because the maker was God. God said, take these things that I have made, stack them up. Also, it would be start as a small kingdom. And then it would grow. You compare that with what Jesus taught about the nature of His kingdom. You know, His kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. And it would start small and it would grow to encompass the earth. His disciples would go out from Jerusalem into all the world eventually. This is the indestructible kingdom that Daniel talked about. It's the indestructible kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed to the world. It is God's providence and His ability to set things in motion so that we could see that He is God. This indestructible kingdom started very small. Jesus came to this world. He had 12 disciples. One of them fell away. Another disciple was taken to add in his place. And then those 12 disciples on the day of Pentecost started something amazing. They started to preach Jesus to the world and the kingdom. Even though it was small, 3,000 souls, much bigger today. And so we know that this kingdom, this indestructible kingdom, involves those in the church. You know, in Colossae, they were in the kingdom. In Thessalonica, they were in the kingdom. in the seven churches of Asia are in the kingdom. All Christians are in this indestructible kingdom. As long as we live and remain faithful, we're in this indestructible kingdom. The fulfilling of the statement of prophecy that this kingdom would fill the whole earth has come true. Can you think of too many places in the world today where Christians cannot be found? There's not too many. There may be a few. But we have men that go out and evangelize all around the world today. Through television, through the radio, through writing, through personal trips. Think about this. We're 5,986 miles from Jerusalem in Akron. I wish I had typed in Bedford. But we're 5,980-some miles from Jerusalem. We're here. We're on the other side of the planet. But His kingdom that was prophesied way back then is here, foretold by Daniel. Listen, why is this so important? It's so important because if you're not in the kingdom, you're not in a part of something that's going to be delivered to God in heaven one day. And if you're not in the kingdom, maybe you're not realizing the significance of prophecy. How many of the Lord's prophecies have come to pass? All of them. He's at 100%. We have men in this world that prophesy the end of the... In 1945, there was going to be end of the world. In 1978, the end of the world was coming. In 2000, the whole world system was going to crash and people were going to kill Christians. And none of that's ever happened. And a lot of people are making prophecies about this, that, and the other thing, and they don't happen. Everything God said has happened. It's a good reason to listen and obey. Whoever is willing to repent and believe in the gospel, Mark 1 and 15, can be a part of that kingdom, this kingdom. The one that Jesus is the one who is the head of the kingdom. The one who has Jesus as king sitting at the right hand of God. And this leads yet to another thought. The future of this indestructible kingdom, it will last forever. That's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar there in that verse 44. It will never be destroyed. It will consume other kingdoms, but it'll never be destroyed. It will last forever. And we have a kingdom, according to the Hebrew writer, that cannot be shaken. His kingdom, to this kingdom there will be no end. And I don't know about others, but I want to be a part of that kingdom. Whatever it takes. I want to be in the kingdom that will never, ever end, that glorious kingdom. And at Christ's coming, it will be delivered to the Father. That's what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 through 26. When Jesus comes, He'll deliver that kingdom up to the Father in heaven. And if you're part of that kingdom, you'll be there with Him. He's going to put an end to all rule and authority, all kind of government, all power. Everything's going to end. And that kingdom will be delivered up to God. Until then, Christ will reign over His enemies. They'll be placed under His feet. The last enemy, of course, is death. And Jesus taught in that parable of the tares, you know, the end of the age is coming, and they will be gathered up into His kingdom, out of among those who practice lawlessness. And then the righteousness of God will shine forth like the sun. The kingdom will see their Father. And so that kingdom is foretold by Daniel. It's an indestructible kingdom. It's a kingdom that was proclaimed by John the Baptist, by Jesus Himself while He was on the earth. It was begun in the days of the Roman Empire. An indestructible kingdom that continues on forever. Ever growing until the end comes. With that hope of a glorious future with God. But let us not forget that last question that raised in our introduction. Can we be a part of that kingdom? Can you be a part of that kingdom? You know, that indestructible kingdom. And the answer is yes. For Jesus and His apostles, they recorded it for all time. We must be born again of water and Spirit. Water baptism commanded of penitent believers is how we get into that kingdom. We believe what the Bible has taught. Probably, for me, very exciting, the idea of the kingdom that is everlasting. I want to be in that kingdom. I want to be able to repent when it's necessary, and I want to be able to learn and grow as it is necessary. And I want to be a part of that kingdom. There's a song that was written years ago. It's called "Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to that light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." This morning I talked about something that happened to me at a funeral, and I think it's ever appropriate, because when I was an officiant over a funeral, as I said this morning, and the wife whose husband had died came to me, and she was very upset. It wasn't over anything that I said, but she said that her husband was a man who loved her all his life, and he dealt with her kindly, took care of her in every way. But he died, and he died outside the Lord. And she said that even though he was such a great husband, the worst thing he ever did to me was die outside the Lord. Because now I have to face the rest of my life knowing that he's not going to be with me in that kingdom, eternal, that place in heaven. And so the same thing would be true if we were to deny the Lord all our life. We need to realize that we're leaving people behind that will be hurt, and deeply hurt. And I think it's true on the other side of that coin, that if we have somebody that we're have a spouse that is in Christ and they die, just before death they must be thinking, "I wish Dave had listened. I wish Dave could come with me." If you have a need this night, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.